श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 13 यो नामभीर बाची जनम निजायाम बध्नाति तंत्राम इव दामभीर गाह यश्मै बलिम ता इमा I'm sorry, ime, nama, karma, nibandha, bandha, baddhas, chakita, bahanti. Jo nama bhirvachi janam nijayam. जो नाम भीर बाची जनम निजायम बध्नाति तंत्रामिव दाम भीर गा बध्नाति तंत्रामिव दाम भीर गा जस्मै बलिम्ता इमे नाम कर्म यस्मै बलिम्ता इमे नाम कर्म निबन्ध बद्धाश्चकिता बहान्ति निबंध बद्धाश्चकिता बहन्ति जो नाम भीर्वाची जनम निजायम बध्नाति तंत्राम इव दाम भीर्गा जस्मै बलिम्ता इमे नाम कर्म निबन्ध बद्धाश्चकिता बहन्ति जो नाम भीर्वाचि जनम निजायम बध्नाति तंत्रामिव दाम भीर्गा जस्मै बलिम्ता इमे नाम कर्म निबन्ध बद्धाश्चकिता बहन्ति Mataji's यह ही हु नाम भी बाय डिफरेंट नेम्स बाची टू द वैदिक लैंग्वेज जनम ऑल पीपल निजायाम विच हैज emanated from himself, badhnati, binds, tantram, to a rope, eva, like, damabhi, by cords, ga, bulls, jasmai, unto whom, balim, a small presentation of taxes. Te, all of them, ime, these, nama karma, of names and different activities. Nibandha, by the obligations. Baddha, bound. Chakita, being fearful. Bahanti, carry. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Just as the driver of a bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of His words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering Him presentations according to their respective activities. Please repeat after me. Just as the driver of a bullock cart ties rope through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of distinct orders of human society, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. In fear, these members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering Him presentations according to their respective activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, everyone is conditioned regardless of who he is. One may be a human being, a demigod, or an animal, tree or plant, but everything is controlled by the laws of nature. And behind this natural control is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 9:10, wherein Krishna says, Mayadhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The material nature is working under my direction and producing all moving and non-moving beings. Thus, Krishna is behind the natural machine which works under His control. Apart from other living entities, the living being in the human form of body is systematically controlled by the Vedic injunctions in terms of the divisions of Varna and Ashram. A human being is expected to follow the rules and regulations of Varna and Ashram. Otherwise, he cannot escape punishment by Yamraj. The point is that every human being is expected to elevate himself to the position of Brahmana, the most intelligent man. and then one must transcend that position to become a Vaishnava. This is the perfection of life. The Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra can elevate themselves by worshipping the Lord according to their activities. Svese karman nabhi rataha sangsiddhim labhate naraha. The divisions of varna and ashram are necessary to ensure the proper execution of duties and peaceful existence of everyone. But everyone is directed to worship the Supreme Lord, who is all-pervading, jena sarvam idam tatam. The Supreme Lord exists vertically and horizontally, otam protam, and therefore, if one follows the Vedic injunctions by worshipping the Supreme Lord according to one's ability, his life will be perfect, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Atah pungbhir dijashreshtha varnashrama vibhagasaha sanushtitasya dharmasya sangsiddhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. The Varnashram institution offers the perfect process for making one eligible to return home back to Godhead, because the aim of every varna and ashram is to please the Supreme Lord. One can please the Lord under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, and if one does so, his life is perfect. The Supreme Lord is worshipable, and everyone worships him directly or indirectly. Those who worship him directly get the results of liberation quickly, whereas the liberation of those who serve him indirectly is delayed. The word namabhir bachi are very important. In the Varnashram institution, there are different names: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. The Bach or Vedic injunctions give directions for all these divisions. Everyone is expected to offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord and perform duties as indicated in the Vedas. Jo namo bhir bachi janam nijayam badnati tantram ibadamo bhir ga jasmai balim ta ime namo karma nibandha baddhas chakita vahanti. Just as the driver of a bullock cart ties ropes through the nostrils of his bulls to control them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead binds all men through the ropes of his words in the Vedas, which set forth the names and activities of the distinct orders of human society, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. In fear, the members of these orders all worship the Supreme Lord by offering him presentations according to their respective activities. So the Jamadutas were frustrated. They went to claim Ajamil. Ajamil was extremely sinful. Although he was born in a Brahminical family, in a Brahmana family, but he fell down very miserably. He became attracted to an unchaste woman, and that was the beginning of his decline. He gradually became more and more and more fallen. And fallen means he became involved in various sinful activities. He became very, very sinful. There was no sinful activity that he didn't commit. He killed people, he looted, robbed, stole, and all kinds of sinful activities. And so naturally, the Jamadutas came when he was about to leave his body. Jamaduta, Jamraj actually keeps record of all the activities of the living entities. Jamraj has a secretary. His name is Chitragupta. And Chitragupta keeps record of everyone's activities. Every single activity is recorded. Sometimes it may appear to be impossible. How can anybody keep record of every activity of everyone? But nowadays we are seeing in countries like America or Singapore, maybe China also, it's happening in India also, the record of everybody's activities are kept in a computer, everybody's activities. Like in America, there is a system, you have a social security number. You have social security, and as soon as you punch that number, all your activities are recorded there. Not all activities, like, but if human beings can master such an art, or can be so effective, so then what to speak of, if a human computer can be so active, what to speak of Jamraj's assistant, a demigod actually. His ability is far beyond human society. So we should be very, very careful how we act. Because every single action has its reaction. And what actually happens, like, every single action remains in our mind. And accordingly, the impressions are generated in the mind. Accordingly, our mind or the subtle body takes the shape. Don't you notice when you do something good, how do we feel? How does our mind feel when you do something good? And when we do something bad, even though nobody saw us doing that, how do we feel? Don't our actions leave their impressions in our mind? And this is how our subtle body actually takes the shape. Like, sometimes we say, oh, that person is like a demigod, or that person is like an angel. Why do we say that? Because his activities are like that of an angel. And sometimes we say, oh, that man is a pig. Why? Because his activities are like that of a pig. And according to his activities, his subtle body actually takes the shape. A person who acted like a demigod, his subtle body takes the shape of a demigod's subtle body. And a person who acted like an animal, his subtle body takes the shape of an animal. And then after one leaves his body, then that person is carried. His subtle body is carried. The gross body is left behind. The gross body, at the time of death, we leave the gross body. But the subtle body remains. Subtle body doesn't die. And the Jamadutas actually carry the subtle body to Jamraj. And there Chitragupta actually gives the records. And his subtle body has already taken the shape, and accordingly, the subtle body is given the proper mentality to develop that particular type of gross body. In Jamalaya, one goes through sinful people, goes through different sufferings. Like for example, a person who had been a human being, his tendency, his conditioning is like that of a human being. He thinks like a human being, he develops his attitude like human beings. But his subtle body has taken the shape of an animal. His subtle body has taken the shape of a pig. So, in Narak, where a living entity, sinful people are subjected to various kinds of suffering, he is put into certain situations. Like for example, you know what pigs like to eat? You know that. There's no need to say that. Now, will the human being want to eat that? No. So, that soul, that person, that individual with this subtle body is put into a situation like that. A pit of stool. And gradually he develops a taste for eating stool, being in that situation. And when he becomes, then he gets a pig's body, and then he always looks for that stuff. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Nrisimhadev ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. So this is how a living entity transmigrates from one body to another. By nature's arrangement, he gets an appropriate body. Now here, Jamraj is actually telling a very important thing. That when one gets a human form of life, then his life should be designed or his life should be molded according to the instructions of the Vedas. And the instructions of the Vedas are to act according to one's natural propensity, which is designed by guna and karma. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. And according to guna karma, he develops his different attitudes, different tendencies. These are natural to him. A person who is in a mode of goodness, he develops certain attitude, certain propensities, certain inclination. Like a person in a mode of goodness, what does he want to do? He likes to study. He likes to philosophically cultivate his knowledge, which eventually leads him to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a natural tendency of a person who is in the mode of goodness. On the other hand, a person who is in the mode of passion, he develops his natural tendency. Like he's very powerful. A person who is influenced by the mode of passion, he wants to enjoy this material nature. And because he is powerful, because he wants to enjoy, he tends to grab by force, things by force. An example of an individual influenced by the mode of passion among animals is lion. Lion. Look at the nature of a lion. Very powerful. And he gets everything by force. He wants things. He wants to enjoy. And that is his nature. On the other hand, an animal in the mode of goodness is, which animal is in the mode of goodness? Cow. Look at the cow. Very peaceful, very gentle, doesn't need much. All it needs is some grass. But what it does, it gives milk. So, this is how different individuals become affected by different modes of nature. And, similarly human beings also develop this kind of tendencies according to the influence of the modes of nature. Now, will a cow ever act like an animal, like a lion? Or will a lion ever act like a cow? No. They have their natural propensity. Similarly, human beings also are affected by the modes. Persons in the mode of goodness, they develop a tendency. And the Vedas are giving direction. Oh, you are in the mode of goodness? This is how you should design your life. You are a Kshatriya? This is how you should design your life. You are a Vaishya? You are in the mixed mode of passion and ignorance? This is how you should lead your life. And you are a Sudra? You are in the mode of ignorance? This is how you should lead your life. So they are actually guiding individuals to act according to their natural propensity. Natural propensity. So that is what the Vedas are. That is how the Vedas are guiding the human beings to lead their lives. But ultimately, what is the purpose? What is these activities are leading to? Saṃsiddhi Haritoshanam. To please the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, you are a Brahmana. Through these activities you please the Lord. You are a Kshatriya. Through these activities you please the Lord. You are a Vaishya. Through these activities you please the Lord. And you are a Sudra. Same way. You please, through these activities you please the Lord. So this is how in the Vedic society the human beings were, human society was structured, or human beings were guided. Through your natural tendency you serve the Lord. But today this Varnashram is not there. Because today there is Varna Shankar. There is no pure Brahma. The pure modes are not acting in the pure way. The only mode that acts in a pure way in this age is the mode of ignorance. That is the only pure mode. But otherwise, there is Varna Shankar. There is no proper Brahmana. There is no proper Kshatriya. There is no proper Vaishya. And everybody became Sudra. And the goal of life is not to Haritoshanam. The goal of life is to make money by begging, borrowing or stealing. Rinam kritva ghritam pibe. Just by hook or by crook, try to enjoy your life. And as a result of that, the human society has become so degraded. No brahmanas to guide the society, no kshatriyas to protect dharma, no vaishyas to properly cater to the needs of the society. And everyone became a sudra. But the sudras are generally controlled. Sudras are not given freedom. Sudras are controlled because they do not know how to act. Does a child know how to act? The child has to be guided by the parents. Similarly, the Sudras are like children. Therefore, they have to be guided by the, and who they are guided by? By the higher classes of society. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. You know what's happening? Huh? Rally. See? Sudra culture. Instead of using music for Sankirtan, they are just musing to creating noise in through so-called music. And what is the goal? Some political purpose. Or some sort of cheap sense gratification. So, Varnashram was the basic foundation of the human society. The human society was structured by Varnashram. And that's why in this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually brought Sankirtan movement, the pure Vaishnav culture. The human society has the tendency to act according to their propensity. Different people have tendency to act according to their propensity. But because there is a mixed up, there is a Varna Shankar, there is no pure Brahmana, no pure Kshatriya, and so forth. So it's a mixture. It's difficult to figure out who is who. In the previous ages, the society was so pure that in the family of a Brahmana used to take birth. Because the father was a Priya Brahmana, mother was a Priya Brahmani. Therefore, a Brahmana soul used to come to the womb of that mother through that father and get an appropriate Brahminical body. Similarly, a Kshatriya, father was a pure in the mode of passion, and mother also was in the mode of pure passion. Therefore, the son was also, accordingly, pure son, pure Kshatriya. And same with the Vaishyas, same with the Sudras. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, mixing of different varnas were not allowed. Generally, a Brahmana would get married only to a Brahmana girl. A Kshatriya would marry a Kshatriya girl in that society. Similarly, Vaishya and Sudra. But there was a possibility of admixture in some rare occasions, not standard occasion. That was not a standard norm. In some special occasions, there could have been. Like, in a special occasion, a Brahmana could marry a Kshatriya girl. But a Kshatriya girl could not marry a Brahmana girl. A man from the higher caste could marry the girl from the lower caste. But a man from the lower caste could not marry a girl from a higher caste. So, there are reasons also, because a woman from the higher caste is considered to be like a mother. Therefore, a person from a lower caste could not marry a woman from the higher caste. But now, there is no way to recognize who, because the Brahmanas, the father is not pure Brahmana, our mother is not a pure Brahmana, therefore how can there be a Brahminical son as their offspring? And who knows what, and it started actually in the age of Kali. It actually Anyway, the Varnashankar started, and as a result of the whole society became completely bewildering. There is no way to figure out what is what. Since Varnashram could not structure the society anymore, and people could not be engaged in serving the Lord according to their propensity, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started this very special process. What is the special process? Everybody can directly serve the Lord. In the other ages, through their activities, they would serve the Lord indirectly. Only the Brahmanas could serve the Lord directly, worshipping the Lord in the temple. Others could not. So, they used to do indirectly, like a Kshatriya, being guided by the Brahmanas. They're powerful individuals. They're very, very strong, very apt, very adept in fighting, in warfare. So their business was protect dharma. Protect dharma. And the Kshatriya, that is how the Kshatriya would serve. Vaishyas, okay. So much is, these things are needed for serving the Lord. So supply them. And they would bring that. Or these ingredients, or these are things that are needed in the society. So you supply them. Get them and supply. How? Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijya. The society needs food. Okay, produce food by agriculture. The human society needs the milk products. Milk is, cow is providing so many things for the human society. So Goraksha, protect the cows. And Vanijya, business. Meaning, you buy the things where it is easily available. You get the things from the place where it is easily available and bring it to the place where it is needed. Therefore, they would take things from one place, go to another place where those things are needed. They would give them there or sell them there and buy things which is readily available there and bring it to this place where they need those stuff. Like for example, in India, food grains and cloth and jewelries are available. So they would carry them and go to another place where spices are available. Like spices were not available, like cloves and cinnamon, etc. So they would take one thing from this place, take it there and bring those things from there to here. Or they would sell those things, get the money and bring that wealth. So that was the that is how the Vaishyas were serving. And the Sudras, they were serving by producing all kinds of artifice and working with their physical labor. So that is how the society was structured. But now, the society has become Sankar. Sankar means mixed up, khichuri. What is khichuri? Everything is put into the pot and cook it, that is khichuri. So, since it become like that, difficult to serve the Lord according to one's propensity, now it has been advised, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought, okay, there is no need, just serve directly to the Lord. Now, who can serve directly to the Lord? Vaishnavas. Even the Brahmanas are serving the Lord according to their propensity. Brahmanas, these are the Brahminical activities, so you do that. But the Vaishnava doesn't matter what is your propensity, what is your tendency, what is your varna, what is your influence of guna karma, doesn't matter. Just serve the Lord. And what is the way to serve? Not worshipping the deities in the temple so much. It is there, it's a part of that, of Navada Bhakti. But the way to serve the Lord in this age is chanting the glory of the Lord. That is the highest form of service to the Lord. That is a direct way of expressing one's love for the Lord. Chanting the holy name means glorifying the Lord. Telling others, you know, the Lord is this, Lord is that. Preaching means, Sankirtan means preaching. And preaching means going to people and glorify the Lord and make them aware of Him. He is so great. He is so wonderful. He is so caring. He is so merciful. So recognize Him and surrender yourself unto Him. And for that, there is no restrictions of who one is. Anybody can sing the glory of the Lord. That is a Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava, there is no consideration of caste and creed. Vaishnaver nahi jati kuladi vichar. For a Vaishnava, there is no consideration of his background, caste and creed. Oh, he is born in this family, or this is his attitude, this is his tendency. No, anybody can be engaged in serving the Lord directly. By serving Him in the best possible way, by singing His glory. So, Prabhupada is pointing that out in the purport today. That beyond the Brahminical, the purpose of Varnashram is to gradually elevate one. Gradually elevate. Okay, you're a Sudra, doesn't matter. You become involved in these activities, you'll be elevated to a Vaishya, to become a Vaishya. From Vaishya, you'll become a Kshatriya. From Kshatriya, you'll become a Brahmana. Gradual elevation. And then from Brahmana, you'll become a Vaishnava. But Mahaprabhu's mercy is no more gradual elevation. Direct. An example can be given, like, in order to become a PhD, what do you have to do? You have to first go to school, then college, then university, and then finally, after doing your master, you become qualified to do your PhD. Long and arduous process. That is the normal way to become a PhD. But sometimes, some universities actually award PhD to somebody directly. Okay, you're a PhD. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is awarding mass PhDs. Anybody can become elevated to the highest platform. No more gradual elevation. By His mercy, one is becoming situated in the most exalted spiritual position. That is the special prerogative for the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, one achieves direct love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has the ability to become a Vaishnava directly. Directly. Doesn't matter. Chandalopi dijasreshto hari bhakti parayana. If even a chandal, which is the lowest of mankind, whose business is to burn dead bodies, can you imagine what a degraded activity that is? But even if a chandal becomes a devotee, he becomes more elevated than a brahmana. Is it clear? Is it difficult to understand why a chandal, when he becomes a devotee, becomes more elevated than a brahmana? Because the position of a devotee or a Vaishnava is higher than a brahmana. So when he becomes a devotee, then he is more elevated than a brahmana. So that is the special reward that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is awarding to the living entities of this age who are otherwise the most degraded. The people, those who come in this age of Kali, mostly they're most degraded people. Actually, they appear in line. They stand in queue. People are coming. Satyuga, pure ones are coming in the queue. Then, the next batch is little impure, Treta Yuga. Then even more impure, Dwapar Yuga, and most impure, who are standing in queue, right at the end of the queue, according to the degree of their purity, they are the ones who have appeared in the age of Kali. So in the age of Kali, we all are most degraded, but we have the greatest good fortune. That is, we can become Vaishnavas directly by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, we are so fortunate that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this very special process and Srila Prabhupada distributed it all over the world. And as a result of that, we have this opportunity. Had Srila Prabhupada not have come, we couldn't get this opportunity. Had we come before Srila Prabhupada came, we couldn't get this opportunity. We're very fortunate that we got this wonderful opportunity. Now I'll request His Grace Udayananda Prabhu to elaborate further. Give this mic to
him. So it is spotless, and when it is described as amala, it means it is not contaminated by goodness, passion, or ignorance. Every aspect of the Bhagavatam is transcendental. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most munificent and most generous manifestations of Krishna, he comes as the form of Radha and Krishna. He comes to give this Amala Purana, and he does it by giving the holy name of the Lord. So Krishna's name is also the Bhagavatam. So when one chants Hare Krishna, you are actually embracing the Amala Purana. And so the Vedic culture is all structured very specifically, very scientifically. Who is Brahman, who is Kshatriya, who is Vaishya, who is Sudra, what are this responsibility, what are these responsibilities, what are these. But Lord Chaitanya rejects all that. He says, I'm not Brahman, I'm not Kshatriya, I'm not Vaishya, I'm not Sudra, I'm not man, I'm not woman. Gopi Bhattu Padakamalam Dasa Dasa Anadas. I'm
the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan. So, all of these other ideas of Brahminical culture, of being Kshatriya, of being a big businessman, these have nothing to do with the soul proper. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just rips all of these notions away. Rips it totally away. No one is qualified. Everyone in Kali Yuga is considered Sudra, actually. Because no one has maintained that standard. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is to immediately give the standard, give the opportunity to every living entity. You don't have to cultivate in this body that my father was Vaishya, therefore I have to cultivate being a Vaishya. My father was Kshatriya, etc. My father was Sudra, I'm a Sudra. No, you don't have to cultivate. Those notions have nothing to do with the soul proper. Has nothing to do. So Lord Chaitanya just throws everything away. He rejects everything. As if when he was sitting with Ramananda Roy, he said, give me the absolute truth. Well, he said, the absolute truth is the four varnas. He rejected it. No, he said, go farther, go farther, go farther. So, this opportunity to be in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and to engage in Sankirtan Yajna is it's only for winners. Like sometimes you look in this world, they'll project someone who's very successful, right? They're very famous, they're very beautiful, they're very wealthy, right? And they'll project them. But in order for those people to become successful, so many people are unsuccessful, right? So many people. So it's just like the Ishvashyam says that idam sarvam yakin shajagat yam jagat. That everything is set aside. Everyone has their quota. But in Kali Yuga, people are not satisfied with quotas. They want your quota too. You see? So in order for someone to be very successful, it means many people have to be unsuccessful. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejects this notion and says everyone can be successful. This is the amazing methodology of the chanting of the holy name, that every single soul is qualified to become better than a Brahmin. Become better than a Brahmin. You don't have to go through all the yajnas and the mudras and this. No, you just have to surrender to the holy name of the Lord and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then you become better than Brahman. So it is a gift. It is the most important work one can do as a human being. When I first came to this movement, I used to feel really sad for people who were starving in Africa and India. Because Prabhupada said, I never saw anyone starving there. I used to feel sorry for them. But as I've grown older, I realize that feeding people is not merciful, especially if you don't give them Krishna prasadam. Right? Usually they feed them horrible things, which actually makes them more sinful. And now they're implicated. And when they become revived, then they want to engage in sinful activity. So where is humanitarianism in that? So if one, Krishna's name is Krishna. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days on his baby finger, effortlessly, all day, all night. And everyone under the hill was fully satisfied. They weren't even tired. I'm exhausted. I just arrived 35 hours from California. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan were not tired. They weren't hungry. They were totally ecstatic. And Krishna was lifting this hill. 7 days, he could have lifted for seven. He could have lifted it for seven lifetimes of Brahma. And his name, Krishna, is just as powerful as that little boy. It is non-different. So when one gets a chance to hear Krishna or say Krishna, we cannot imagine the good fortune. You are the richest, you are the most intelligent, you're the greatest sadhu. You are saying the name Krishna, and you are giving it to everyone else, and everyone benefits. It's the most merciful thing you can do. There is nothing to do in the human life than to give this holy name of Krishna. You will, and Prabhupada, our Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said, you give this, it will be good for you, and it will be good for everyone that hears you. And Prabhupada took it. He gave it to all of us. Now, we are going to give it to everyone else. It's just an incredible avalanche. It's like a big snowball coming down the mountain, just picking up salt. And this is the mercy of Bhakti Churu Swami Maharaj Ki! Shri Gurudev Ki! Guru Maharaj Ki! Shri Prabhupada Ki! Krishna Balaram Ki! Jagannath Prabhadev Subhadra Maharani Ki! Shishi Nittai Gornataraj Ki! Lalita Vishakha Ki! Radha! Madan Mohan Ki, Gaura Premanande, Nishringa Bhagavan Ki.
Hare Krishna. Well, we have a few questions that came from internet. So I'll just answer these questions. It is quite late already. So, this is from Gaurav Nimiye, Bhopal base. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. My question is, if soul and subtle body leaves the gross body, then why we perform so many rituals to gross body, which is nothing but dead matter? Actually, we don't do those rituals for the dead body. We do the rituals for the subtle body so that it can become free from the attachment of the gross body. Like one of the rituals is burn the body. You see, the subtle body, the person, remains attached to his gross body. Even the body, he left the body, but the subtle body remains. And you know what is the subtle body called? Subtle body in English called ghost body. And in Sanskrit it's called preta sarira, pretatma. So this pret, the subtle body in ghost form, remains attached to the gross body, although he left the body. Therefore, all these activities, like one of the first things what we do, burn the body. But before burning, we do some rituals, like for example, say put the body, bathe the body, then put tilak marks in the body, then like put Vrindavan dust in the mouth of that dead body. Because they have their effect. Put tulasi in the body. Because if the body is burned in contact with tulasi, the person gets liberated. if the body has touch of Ganga after the burial, after the burning, after cremation, then one becomes delivered. So that's why all these rituals are there, to elevate or to benefit the subtle body. Ramrajya Das, Punjabi Bagh, New Delhi. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for your divine association. It has been seen that there are sometimes arguments between devotees and one Vaishnava cannot see other or serve with other Vaishnavas. Then the advice given by leader is to avoid that Vaishnava. It has been seen that many Vaishnavas have this problem, and then multiple devotees are advised to avoid the other. In this way, many groups become within a small group. What is the best option in this situation? We should advise to cooperate with each other, forgetting our personal inclinations, or this avoiding things is better option to, or this avoiding thing is the better option to avoid further Vaishnava aparad. Thanks, Maharaj. Well, what you mentioned here, Ramrajya Prabhu, is the activities at a neophyte stage. At a neophyte stage, one has these tendencies to fight, conflict, and get into competition, and so forth. Therefore, it is advisable, like when the leader suggests that, the idea is to avoid these unnecessary situation, undesirable situation. And then by practicing Krishna consciousness, one will gradually be elevated. And when one becomes elevated, then there won't be any conflict. The conflicts are there due to neophyte situation. But should we always remain at a neophyte stage or become more advanced? At the neophyte stage, we have two possibilities. Either to advance or get out. If we don't make advancement, then eventually we'll go out. And that's where you find so many people join the movement, but they go away. That is because they did not elevate themselves from that neophyte stage. So therefore, the advice will be, don't remain in the neophyte stage. Make advancement. Keep progressing by practicing the process properly. Because it's a dynamic, you see, human, our activities are always dynamic. We have to move. Either we move forward or we move backward. There is no stagnation. Jagat, this material nature, is constantly moving. Jagat. Gacchati iti jagat. Everything in this world is moving. Now, if we don't move, we can't remain in a static stage for long. Like, you can lie in bed for some time. Can you lie in bed forever? Even if you're a bear, you can lie in bed for 6 months. But still, you have to wake up and then start. So now the movement can be either towards the positive direction or to the more negative direction. Now the choice is yours. Are you going to move towards the positive direction or to the negative direction? What's your choice? Which direction? Thank you. So keep moving in the positive direction. And Bibhu Chaitanya, please forgive my inapt paraphrasing, but how can pure ignorance function, Can pure ignorance function in this world? Well, isn't it too imperfect for that? Yes, pure ignorance functions in the world like becoming a tree, right? No movement, nothing, no desire, very little desire. Where is some water? Where is some water? Where is some sunlight? Where is some sunlight? And when it has the water and it has sunlight, it's happy. And his happiness comes out in the form of the flowers. Right? That's the extent of his happiness. So, okay, last question. Another question from Ram Rajadas, Punjabi Bhad. If a Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmin, then why Brahmin initiation is given in a Vaishnav Sampradaya? Somebody asked this question to me. Please elaborate. Yeah, actually, Vaishnavas do not need to become a Brahmana. But, since we have the temples, and the worshipping of the temple is according to Bidhi Marg, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. The scripture says that in the temple, the deity should be worshipped by the Brahmanas. Therefore, Prabhupada introduced this culture of Brahmin initiation. Or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually started. Vaishnavas don't need the Brahmanas, but the temple need Brahmanas for deity worship. And that's why we need Brahman initiation. But unfortunately what happens, I notice often in ISKCON, this Brahmin initiation has become a status symbol. Oh, I am a Brahmana. Oh, you are not a Brahmana, you are an outcast. It shouldn't be like that. We should understand that the Vaishnav situation is far superior to the Brahmana situation. By chanting Hare Krishna, one becomes a Vaishnava. So you got the highest, you got the Maha Mantra. By being a Brahmana, you chant Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra. But Hare Krishna is a Maha Mantra. So what is superior, Mantra or Maha Mantra? So when you got Maha Mantra, then what's the point in, what's the need for other things? As I said, the need is for deity worship. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.